Now we want to watch the rest of the movie, right? It's really kind of a powerful scene in there. And of course, and then he's crying out to the Father in agony in the garden. The scripture tells us of that. And we see the devil up here, and he begins to taunt them, Christ. And what he's really saying is, you're not up for this. There's no way, you can't do this. It's too much. He questions his identity. Who's your father? Who are you really? It's too much for you. Now, scriptural accounts of Christ in the garden and during the trial and his crucifixion don't make mention of the devil tempting Jesus. And yet, when we understand the intensity of the crucifixion, the brutality, and you understand the extreme spiritual battle that was taking place during the crucifixion, it's not a stretch to imagine the very presence of Satan at that time. In Genesis, in the account of the fall after Adam and Eve were deceived and they fell into sin, God addresses Satan and says this, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" In some of the scenes in the movie, throughout the movie, you see Satan mixed in with the crowd, and it's the very presence of evil and temptation and drawing Christ away and taunting him in a sense, and just that presence of evil. And we could spend a great deal of time just looking at the devil and his temptation of Christ. We could look at when Christ was in the wilderness and the devil tempted Christ in the wilderness and tried to pull him away. But what's interesting in that whole depiction of Christ when the devil took him in the wilderness, there's a scripture in Luke 4:13 that says this. "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." I think that's kind of telling that he departed until there was another time to come back and tempt and to pull Christ away. Now, clearly the devil's a tempter. But 1 Peter tells us this as well. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The Bible's very clear. You have an enemy, he is a tempter, and he desires to devour you. And when you consider our various temptations that we fall into and the things that we touch that they do not touch, and the end result being sin, and you consider the crucifixion and all that Jesus did to pay for those sins, those things that we touch and we shouldn't, and we fall into sin, I think you have to stagger at least two things. One is this. The crucifixion and Jesus' death for us is a true picture of ultimate evil. It's brutality of man at his very worst. Torture for the sake of just ungodly pleasure. When you watch the beating that he took and all that had happened, they take Jesus to the point of death several times and back off just enough so he doesn't die. It's evil. It's vile. It's the ultimate hatred. And it's the opposite of love. There's no mistaking that the devil hates Jesus. You can't deny that. But there's no mistaking, because you are Christ, he hates you as well. Jesus said this in John 15, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." I think the second thing that you have to recognize in the crucifixion, it's a true picture of ultimate love. It's a picture of ultimate evil, and it's a picture of ultimate love. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And Christ went to the cross willingly, because to him, you are worth it. He went to the cross because he felt you were worth going through that. And that's just the message that your enemy doesn't want you to hear. He doesn't want you to understand that he desired to pay that penalty, that you were worth paying that penalty, your penalty. And while you're busy And while you're trying to do your best and you're out about in life, your adversary slithers in from the shadows and begins to tell you, you're not fit for this. You're not good enough. There's no way you're up for this. You're not who you think you are. Who's your father? In Revelation, the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren, that he desires to accuse you and slander you. One of the words for the devil is slanderer. He's a slanderer. And Peter and James both tell us to resist the devil. So how do we balance this whole issue of temptation? Is it all from the devil, or is there more to it besides that? And Peter tells us, and James tells us to resist the devil. But Peter tells us this in this context. Listen to the context where Peter tells you to resist the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, as you study the word, you find out and you see that the devil tried to stop Christ from accomplishing his mission. All through the word, if he could stop Christ, if he could draw him away and stop him from completing what the Father wanted him to do, he'd have been successful. It's a very interesting study if you look through the word of God and you read the Gospels where it talks about Christ and the devil, and something looked like it was almost coming to an end, and it said the hour had not yet come. The hour had not yet come. Christ would just escape, and just God would provide miraculous ways. And then suddenly the hour had come, but the devil tried to stop him from accomplishing what the Father wanted for him. And his approach is the same for you and for me. The devil will do all he can to stop you and me from accomplishing all we can for the Father in our life. And when Jesus said the world hated him, and therefore the world hates us, ultimately he's saying that Satan hates you. But the things of the world, the fallen world, those that don't understand God, that Satan hates you. And that he's really telling us that if you watch the trials that I went through and the struggles that I went through, you will see that it's paralleled in your life, in a sense, if you would, as well. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. You'll find it on page 691 of your pew Bibles. Luke 4, page 691. Now, as you go through this Luke 4 here, I want you to keep in mind the context of what's happening here. The context of Luke 4, Jesus had just been baptized in the River Jordan. And just as he came up out of the water, the Father said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Some translations say, "Jesus, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." The Father made it very clear to him. God said it, they all heard it, and it's true, wasn't it? So in that context, that the Father is acknowledging Christ as the Son, acknowledging that he is pleased in him and what he's doing, here we find this very next thing that happens. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. Now, I have to stop for a minute and be honest with you. That's a scripture that doesn't that stagger you a little bit? Being led by the Spirit into the wilderness, filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan, led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. I mean, I don't understand why that had to happen, but God permitted that to happen and wanted it to happen. And sometimes in your life, you're just going to go through difficult times. And 40 days of being tempted? I mean, sometimes don't we struggle with 5 or 10 minutes of temptation? In reality, a half hour of temptation. Maybe you have a bad day and you're tempted throughout the day. 40 days of pure temptation. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Now did you catch that? Did you notice, "If you are the Son of God"? Didn't the Father just say that to him? This is my beloved son. You are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased. It's interesting that the father said to Jesus, you are my beloved son. And the devil comes back and said, well, if you're the son of God. You know, the thing we need to learn with that, when God speaks something into your life, that you need to believe it and you need to act on it, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what the enemy tries to tell you. The Bible tells you that you are loved by God. In fact, in Ephesians, it says, you are accepted in the beloved. Now, that's a word that we don't use a whole lot, beloved. You know, this is my wife, my beloved wife. We don't really use that. But in the context of when, in the King James language and in the original language as well, when the father said, this is my beloved son, it's this agape love, it's this deep love. And the father saying, in all my love, as much as I can express it, I love my son. And then he says to you that right now, where you're at, you are accepted in the beloved with the same language and the same understanding. It doesn't mean that we don't have things that change, but he's saying, I accept you where you're at. Now, when God tells that to you, don't be surprised if the enemy comes along and tries to lie to you and tries to take that from you. And he'll do it in various certain ways. He'll put doubt and fear in your mind. He'll take away from you the things of God that he's speaking into your mind. He'll take away from you the assurance of God that the word speaks into your mind. You know, when Peter looked to God, looked to Jesus, and he told Jesus, Jesus said, I have to die. And he said, you're never going to die. And it's interesting, what did Christ say to him? He said, get behind me, Satan. Now, he spoke to Peter, but he spoke to Satan in a sense in a roundabout way. Why? Because that thought came from Satan in Peter's mind. So Peter says, Lord, you can't die. And Christ addressed the devil. He said, that thought came from the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. And when Peter said to Christ at one point, he said, you are the Christ. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father that's in heaven. The devil will speak it into your thoughts, and he will use others as well to speak doubt and fear into your thoughts. When Christ was on the cross, the crowd and the chief priests shouted, if you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. Doesn't that sound familiar? Where'd they get that from? Isn't that what the devil said to him as well? If you are the Son of God? So he'll use others. He'll put the same thought. Here's the chief priest and the people's soldiers yelling, if you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. If the enemy can put doubt and fear into your life, he can stop you from becoming all that you are in Christ. He can stop you from accomplishing all that God has for you. In the very same way that he tried to stop Christ from accomplishing all that Christ had, he will try to do that in your life as well. And one of his main tools are temptation. One of his main tools are temptation. With Jesus, he said this, if you are who you say you are, prove it. Prove it. He will come to you and say to you, if you're really God's child, how can you know that? How can you prove it? He told Jesus, worship me, bow down to me. I'll give you all authority. He's a liar. It wasn't his to give in the first place. So I really believe that there's a tool of temptation that desires to pull us away, those things that we're not supposed to touch, and we touch them. And so what's the understanding? Is it all the devil? And I think we find that, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think my voice is going to go much longer, so I think we're going to bring this to a close, but because I really believe there's a lot more that God wants to say. And we'll find that the devil is a tempter, but it goes far beyond that as well, far beyond that. And so God willing, we'll continue to look into this and find out what is this whole issue of temptation. And we see how the devil tempted Christ, and we'll find out that he's going to use those same tools for you. He's going to tempt you to pull you away from God, to draw you away from the things of God, and to pull you into his darkness and into his lies. Let's stand together.
draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered at the cross. You beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Surrender. Whoa.
Father, you are always ultimately drawing us back to the cross, back to our God, back to our Lord, back to our Savior, to where we find strength, to where we find encouragement, where we find help. You are the answer, Lord God. You are the answer. And just as Jesus bruised the head of the devil, crushed his head, in that triumph, your word proclaims it's our triumph as well. And while there is temptation, while there is the devil that tries to tempt us, and while we fall in our own temptations, the answer is always in you. Always found in you, that you will give us a way of escape. You will take us in the correct path. You will empower us as you empowered Christ to overcome that temptation and to withstand it and to stand up victorious. We thank you for it, Father. Father, I pray your blessings upon those that stood the weather this morning, and came out of their homes and went on the slippery roads and in the blowing cold, and that you'd bless them this day, that their life and their households and their day would be full of peace and full of joy, reassurance by you, that your grace would be manifested in their lives. And as we go, Father, that your angels would encamp about us and protect us and watch over us on the highways and keep us safe without accident, without incident. We give the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. Don't forget the ladies' Bible study Tuesday night.